Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Spanish government has declared Valencia a disaster area and is providing 10.6 billion euro in urgent aid following last week's devastating flash floods there. 218 people at this point have been confirmed dead. 15,000 soldiers and police and emergency services continue searching there. Destroyed homes and countless cars strewn across the streets are being searched. Many towns are relying on volunteers though. And those residents, those in those towns, say they feel abandoned by the authorities. I'm joined now by Eimear McCormack, who's helping with the cleanup in Valencia. Eimear, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening. Thanks for highlighting this story.
You're in Catarroja, I think, which is a town south of Valencia. Is that right? One of the worst areas. Now, some of the images, Eimear, that we're seeing from there are shocking. But what are you seeing?
To be quite honest with you, I've never seen a bomb site, the aftermath of one, but I can only imagine that it is something like that. It took my breath away seeing everything, and I was just completely overcome with sadness and distraught for the people of the town and the lack of help that they are getting. It's unbelievable what you see. Yeah. Unbelievable. I sent a few pictures to your producers, and he also said, "Geez, it's very, very harrowing," and it most certainly is.
And I should say to people, some of the detail here might be distressing to some, because the images that I've seen are cars piled up on top of each other and damage to buildings, and the floods are just something difficult to conjure with, Eimear.
But the thing about it is, cars are material things. Houses are material things. But what isn't material is somebody's life. And there's huge anger and huge outpouring of absolute anger on the streets in relation to the way in which this was dealt with. Material things can be replaced, as I mentioned. But like going around to these houses, again, let me just put this into perspective. Mm. These people have lost everything. All they have is the four walls now. They have no kitchens, no sitting rooms, no furniture, absolutely nothing. And I just want to also just picture this and try and really paint the picture. In terms of water levels that came into people's houses in the area, right? The size, three times the size of Castlebar, the county town of Mayo. That'll again give you an idea as regards what size we're dealing with here. And this is just one town. But the water level came above an actual door, a normal door which we'd have at home, above that, the top of the frame. If you were inside there, unfortunately, you're gone, because you'd only have a very, very small pocket of air to be able to swim around. And after a while, nobody's coming to you. Nobody's coming to you. And this is exactly what has happened. And even today, there are garages all over that town that are full of water and quite possibly people in them.
My goodness. And basically you're searching, you're part of this now, you're volunteering. You're searching for bodies, are you?
Well, look, I don't want to act the martyr, because I'm by no means a martyr. I'm surely a volunteer. But without the volunteers, this town was left abandoned. 6 days, when I arrived there yesterday, 6 days later, people were not getting the support from anybody. They were relying 100% on volunteers walking up and down that street, knocking on the doors. Are you okay? Do you need help? Help in one respect, help as in any aid, any food, any drinks, whatever the case may be, but help in the way of clearing out all of their stuff. Yesterday, 20 volunteers from all over the world, but predominantly from the area, the Valencian area, went in there and were clearing out people's houses. Now, that's a huge invasion of someone's privacy as well. That's why I didn't put up anything online in relation to that. But that's everything gone. I was clearing out a house yesterday of an elderly lady. I knew it was elderly lady because everything I seen the photo album, destroyed photo album. You know, like, this is just, it's terrible. And people have been left abandoned, and people need to know and hear that people have been left abandoned by the Spanish government.
And people feel like that, Eimear, do they? You sound, if you don't mind me saying this, you sound angry, not alone the people who live there.
I do. Well, first off, I've been living here for the past 6 months in Torrevieja. I have a new business that I set up with my friend Ander. We are in the Valencian community. We are in the area. So as far as I'm concerned, and it wouldn't make any difference if this happened in Madrid or if it happened in Bilbao, anywhere, we would go. because you need, if people cry out for help, you have to go. Now, the government, local government, put out a notification to say, to tell volunteers to actually stop coming. But the locals went on social media to say, no, please come. We really, really need you. Please come. And that's why we went, and they were putting out a call for 4x4s. I'm involved in boats at home, and I'm lucky enough that I have a 4x4. And I was going there. I had straps and everything in the flatbed. I went to Ander, went with Laura, and we were armed to pull out some of the vehicles. But we couldn't pull out the vehicles because some of them are trapped under gas pipes. A lot of the vehicles there are full of fuel. So there's considerations to be taken there. Yeah. And also the debris on the roads. It's impossible to pull a car up there because nobody has come apart from today. The police, the national police, brought a big machine to move some of the rubble. That's 7 days later. Of course you're going to be angry at this. But it's crazy.
But we're reading about 15, is it, the figure is right, 15,000 soldiers and police and emergency services helping in that area now. I mean, they're obviously visible there.
Not really, you know,
because
they're doing it street by street. They're doing it street by street. But the people that really need the help, their houses are rotting away. The stuff is rotting away on the way in to the town. There are rats on the street. Now, what's it going to be like in another few days? This is what you're dealing with here. It's crazy what's happening there. Even yesterday, when a few of the big tanks arrived with the National Army. I drove on the road of them. I went in as a convoy because of my 4x4. So I was on the front line, like seeing everything and looking at where everybody is going. And they were not going and checking on every street. We actually had to tell the army when we were leaving because it was getting dark and there's no electricity. We told the army, go down to such a street. They really need your help down there. Why is it up to people who are volunteers to tell people where to go?
I read that you can smell mud and you can even smell death in some reports that I read. Have you experienced anything like that?
I woke last night, let me tell you, when I was going to bed. I lay there, I closed my eyes, and all I could think was the picture that I seen, the woman that I spoke to of 84 years of age that has left with absolutely nothing. The story that she told about the last time that she's ever going to see her family again is only memories in her head because she's got nothing tangible to look at. It's all gone. When I close my eyes, all I can do is not only see those images, but also smell the smell. I got into my Jeep this morning, and as soon as I got in, I got that smell. And it's almost like, you know, for me as a volunteer, having gone down there to help, I have a touch of PTSD about it because it's horrific.
I'd say.
But smelling that again, I had to go straight this morning, clean out the car to try and get rid of the stench. And it is unfortunate. It is unfortunate. You're not walking in mud. You're walking in all sorts. And God help the people there. That's all I can say. God help them.
God help them is right. Yeah, Eimear, as you described it, you say you were particularly shocked by tunnels near a shopping centre. Why is that?
Because there, unfortunately, one of the I think it's the third largest shopping centre in Europe, and people were struggling to get out of their vehicles, and there's people unfortunately deceased in there. They're saying locally on the ground there's up to 800 people there that have perished. So the divers went in 2 days ago, and they've started the body recovery. But you have to remember, you're dealing with a huge amount of water. So you're pumping everything out. I see the guys from Alicante that came today with jet skis to try and assist to get into these garages to search for bodies.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you're dealing with. But you know what? If this happened a day later or even the day after, you'd say, fair enough, they're making an effort. But you're relying on a commercial business to come down from Alicante to use their services in order to help the people recover bodies. They say there's up to 2,000 people registered missing. That's what you're dealing with here. And this is only one town that I speak about. There's 12 others.
Good God, Eimear. I mean, as you describe it, I'm just thinking, if I had a family member trapped in those tunnels of water, trapped maybe in a car, submerged in water, and I know what their fate is, I don't know how you'd feel. I mean, I don't know how you'd feel.
Well, look, we discussed this going down in the car. We discussed this going down in the car. And Laura and Ander are a lot younger than I am. And I was more concerned about them. I'm Ander's manager. He's a professional athlete. And I was more concerned about the guys in the car than myself. But actually, when we got there, I was thinking in my head, wow, okay, I knew it was going to be bad, but I did not know it was going to be this bad. And we did discuss, what if we did come across a deceased person? What would we do? How would we feel? How would we process it? And thankfully, we didn't. But you know what? If we did, we would have dealt with it, because that's somebody's loved one that's there. And we would have done everything in our power. And as my friend Ander says, we 100% would have dug deep in order to do it. You know, because that's what you do. Because if that was your mother, your brother, your child, your sister, your aunt, whoever, you're going in there and you're helping them. And, you know, one thing for myself that I was very proud of, driving into the town, there was this girl. When I say girl, she's probably a few younger than me, so I'm probably being generous and saying girl. But she looked at my registration with the IRL. She looked at me. She gave me a nod to say thank you. And she started crying. Another lady came around taking pictures of my registration, putting it up online to say, look, they've even come from Ireland. Now, albeit I've come from Torrevieja, but it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
If I'm Spanish, if I'm Irish, if I'm whatever, I've come to help and offer my services, offer my vehicle. I didn't care if it got damaged, got wrote off. I didn't care, because maybe it'd make a difference to a person. So I value life. So that's probably why I am quite distraught about this situation.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a while to get over.
It just strikes me that as you described that woman who broke down and cried, she was probably traumatised and maybe internalising that trauma, numbed by it, until your human connection pierced that veil, maybe. I mean, and that's happening again and again.
It's true, right? Because I'm English speaking. I'm learning very badly Spanish at the moment, but eventually I get there. But, you know, how do you communicate in times of crisis? You know, you use various different types of way to communicate.
Empathy.
And we were able to do it. We pulled together as a team, 20 people in the house. They didn't know what I was saying, but I explained. I perhaps took a little bit of the lead on some stuff because there was easier way to do things. But if you just extend the hand of friendship, I remember Charlie Bird quite often talking about
that's
this.
Right. Yeah.
But it is extending the hand of friendship. And holding out your hand and hugging that lady who we left, that woman, that 84-year-old woman. What could we do? What could we say? The only thing we could do is open our arms and give her a hug and tell her that everything would be okay and to hang in there. That's all we could do.
Look, thank you so much for giving us the bird's eye view, really, of the recovery and rescue effort. And I'm sure maybe some of the residents near you there would quibble with that description even, but Eimear McCormack in Valencia, thank you very much indeed.